Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything Goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Agnes Hewitt.
And I thought I was getting off to quite a roll this morning recording, and then I just completely sputtered out. So this is take two.
Sometimes you just got to start over. You got to scratch it and start over. We were only talking for like 30 seconds.
No, yeah, it wasn't that bad. Nothing of importance. No. I only had one pint glass full of coffee this morning.
Not enough.
I was contemplating the second, but I refrained. I think I might be honestly like done with Thrive Market.
What?
I really don't think. Okay. Just I'm saying from a cost perspective, as a member of Costco and also a member of Jeff Bezos's cabal of Whole Foods. Like, I don't really know that there's much on Thrive Market that I can't get at one of these places for at least as cheap, if not cheaper. Like the one, I mean, Whole Foods, a lot of people will say it went downhill after Amazon bought it because it's not as special. It's more of like a regular grocery store. But them prices, they're competitive prices. Sorry, guys. It's competitive out there, Whole Foods.
It definitely is, especially if you buy organic. Like if you're shopping organic, you really might as well just go there instead of going to, like, we go to Ralph's or whatever your local.
Oh, Ralph's? I mean, if I was, Ralph's, if you try to buy organic at Ralph's or Vaughn's or like a traditional grocery store, you're spending like twice as much money. And the organic sections there are disgusting. Everything is like mealy and like moldy. Everyone that shops there like doesn't care about organic. So they just don't.
Actually, I will say I got some organic blackberries at Ralph's on Monday, and they're actually pretty nice.
Well, you have, I think your Ralph's is particularly nice.
We have a nice Ralph's. Yeah. We have two nice Ralph's. I'm in the, you know where I live.
Yeah.
I live in supermarket heaven.
I actually don't live close to a Ralph's. I live close to a Vaughn's, and that Vaughn's it's gotten better over like the almost 10 years. God, I've almost lived here for, it'll be 10 years this fall. Wow. But due to my relentless attempts at gentrifying this neighborhood, it's gotten a little bit better, but it's still, I mean, what I wouldn't give for Jeff Bezos to come down and buy that space and turn it into a Whole Foods.
I know.
Walking distance from my house.
Everything. Just buy every supermarket.
I know. You're really good at it. He was a great bookseller. He really reinvigorated that industry.
Yeah.
And now he's the Sam Walton. Who's a famous grocer? Sam Walton, I guess.
I don't know. John Ralphs.
John Ralphs. Karina Delvon.
I assume that these were all like names of people at some point, right?
Peter McSafeway.
I don't know. McSafeway.
Did you know, here's an interesting fact. Yeah. You know the store Smart and Final?
Yeah.
It's actually, it really was started by two men. One's last name was Smart and one last name was Final.
I did know that. Yeah. I heard that on another podcast.
Oh shit. I probably heard it on the same podcast. It's so embarrassing.
But I don't remember which one. So.
Oh, I don't remember. I don't remember from 1 minute to the next at this point.
I don't know what's going on. And I don't care. But I did place a huge Thrive Market order earlier this month, or I guess late last month. And it was expensive, but I got a lot of specialty items that otherwise you're just shopping around for them too much. You know, I got a lot of low, like I got, well, first of all, I ordered one frozen thing. So I've been trying to find those fucking carb smart, low carb Birch Benders toaster waffles. That was something I'd been on the hunt for.
They have those at Whole Foods, don't they?
Okay. My Whole Foods, no. But
in fairness, you have the tiny little mini.
But I have the good one too. And I couldn't find it at Whole Foods and I couldn't find it at Ralph's. And I was like, I'm going to blow everybody up. I was so annoyed.
Erewhon?
I'm not really. Oh, Erewhon, no fucking way. Erewhon isn't going to carry Birch Benders. Yeah. Birch Benders is paleo running mama level shit. Yeah. I think. I don't know. Who knows? But so I put in a Thrive Market order and I was like, get me those waffles. And then they were like, okay, but now you have a frozen box and you have to absolutely fill it with like $50 worth of shit, which is obviously irritating, but I just went and got all like grass-fed meat. Yeah. So I have a skirt steak. I have a couple chicken breasts. I got a thing of bacon. I got ground pork. So I feel like I have so much. Plus my freezer, I already have like a ton of salmon. So I'm like the paleo queen right now.
You are like one of those Instagram influencers that have like the separate freezers in their garage for all their meat.
I know. It's somehow it all fits in my little like whatever apartment freezer above the fridge, but it's a lot. So I kind of like rounded out the order that way. And then I got a ton of more Birch Benders, like low carb, like sweets, like brownie mix and cookie mix, just like all this fucking stuff. Like not good for you, but just because I'm sorry, if you're really trying to eat low carb and cut out sugar, you kind of need something.
Yeah.
Through it.
Are you doing like so low sugar? Like you're not even doing like fruit and stuff?
No, I'm doing fruit. I'm just like trying to cut out the carbs.
Yeah.
And it's still not great to have a bunch of, you know, erythritol, which now they're saying gives you a heart attack, but I don't believe it. Honestly, it's not great to just like start packing that shit in. But you know, I'm just trying to cut the sugar, cut the carbs
good.
For a little limited time only.
Yeah. I've been going back to my, after like the week of Valentine's Day where John and I polished off a giant Costco fudge tuxedo cake.
Oh, romantic.
Yeah, exactly. And then last week, I went to Costco and John was like, can you buy some dessert thing? And I was like, I am not buying another one of these tuxedo cakes.
Oh my God.
But I got these like Belgian, like chocolate mousse things in like a dainty little cup. They're not like the Costco ones.
They're nice. They're for nice little boys. They're not
exactly
honking tuxedo men.
Oh my God. But after that, I'm like, okay, I'm literally going back to my sumos at night and my two squares of dark chocolate, even though I probably am going to die of a cadmium overdose or whatever it is.
There's nothing you can eat that isn't going to kill you. Every single fucking thing is poison. But I have to tell you about this chocolate bar that I got. So my new low carb lifestyle, I bought a couple of Lily's chocolate bars.
Oh, I can't do this.
Oh, they're not.
They make me.
Doesn't sit right.
Right to the top. I got like Lily's white chocolate chips once because I think they were like I didn't even realize they were like sugar free. And I made a batch of cookies with them and they were literally, I mean, I should have sold them as like, if you're constipated, have one of these cookies.
Really?
It was pretty amazing actually.
Yeah. I know some people have that effect. I don't, I can eat them and just, you know, keep on going. So if you can eat Lily's without having explosive diarrhea, I do recommend, I got this milk chocolate sea salt caramel one that and it's milk chocolate, which I never get, but now I'm getting it because apparently dark chocolate has lead in it, but then the erythritol will give you a heart attack. So really it's like, you know, what are you willing to give up from your life when you eat this?
There really is no winning in this.
I mean, I guess you just have to eat, like go back to the basics and just get a fucking Hershey bar.
Yeah. That's the only thing. Cause there's no real chocolate in there. So it's not going to have lead or cadmium.
And it's pure sugar. So you'll get diabetes. But you're not going to get your heart will be fine.
Yeah. And now there's, as we'll mention later in the podcast, there's a great, I mean, everyone knows a great cure for diabetes / whatever you want it to be.
What?
Ozempic.
Did I miss something? Why are you talking about Ozempic so much? Are you going to get Ozempic?
I'm not getting Ozempic. I'm just, it's on the brain because of that giant, The Cut article this week.
Oh, that stupid article. It was already on my brain. I hate it. I read like one paragraph of that and I was like, you know what? I'm sick of this shit. But we'll talk about it.
Because I didn't prepare anything else to talk about.
Okay. Well, I have something else we could talk about, okay. But it's not really related to Goop at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this, so I also have there's like a white chocolate one with cookie. It's like a cookies and cream one that I also got,
okay.
Which I've been picking at here and there. I have like three, like I have like a line, you know, it's like in like these like little squares and I'll have like a little line, like a little row of squares every once in a while.
Sure. Sure.
But you kind of get a little bit of, you're like, that's not real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I cracked open this other one last night and I almost finished the entire bar. I was like, I couldn't stop eating it. It was insanely good and it tasted just like a real candy bar. So if you are a freak like me and you can have erythritol and you're laughing in the face of death and you don't want to eat carbs, this is my recommendation to you.
That's a good recommendation. I'm still on my what is it called? ELO? Alter Echo.
Alter Echo, which is like one of the worst ones for lead.
Well, no, it doesn't have a lot of lead. It has, is it cadmium is the other mineral?
Yeah.
I think cadmium is the one that, I eat a little bit of it, but I alternate between the burnt or the brown butter and the burnt caramel. Those are my two favorites. God.
But are those milk?
No, they're, well, I do. I sometimes get because they have a grass fed, it's like a 60% grass fed milk one, which supposedly doesn't even have the cadmium in it. And I like it. The problem with milk chocolate for me is I don't know if it's like better, it tastes better, but it tastes less intensely of chocolate. So I want to eat more of it. Mm. And I'm never like, if I just have like a little square of the really intense dark chocolate, I'm usually like fine. But if I have a square of milk chocolate or if it's a chocolate with anything like almonds or anything in it, then I have to eat the whole bar. It's like that texture.
It's so good because if you have a square of dark chocolate, it has like tannins in it kind of.
Yeah.
And it will, it just sort of lingers and it's nice. You're like, oh, I have this nice like chocolatey taste in my mouth. I only needed a little bit. It's this like punch of flavor and it's like a pleasure. It's like a classical pleasure experience. But if you're eating a milk chocolate, I mean, that's real pleasure. That's decadence. That's like, I want this now. And it's like, yeah, this, I have the same thing where my brain is like, don't stop eating this because it's so good. I mean, I like it more, definitely.
Milk, yeah. It's the difference between like Mahler's Fifth and Teenage Dream.
Exactly. Like I know which one I have on repeat.
Okay, here's a question for the culture. Why can I no longer get Mary's slow growth non-organic but the pasture raised heirloom chicken thighs? Now every time I go, it's either the disgusting like all natural antibiotic free cheapo Mary's, which God knows what's in that, or the $9.99 a pound fancy light blue organic ones. And I don't have that middle of the road choice anymore. Is it a seasonal thing? Are the chickens, they're just not ready to be slaughtered yet this time of year?
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
Slaughtering phase yet. I don't know. I honestly, my chicken is probably disgusting. I go to Whole Foods and I just buy like the Whole Foods brand, which says something like, I don't know. They give you some cold comfort, although I'm sure it's 100% bullshit. And I just buy like, I spend $30 and I get a giant pack of, and I'm not even 100. I think it's like $7 a pound or something, and I just get a huge thing of chicken breast and I put it in my freezer, and that's my chicken journey. So
I'm sure it's fine.
And I never buy chicken thighs because I'm a meat lady, so I don't really know.
I love my skin, I love my bones, I love my fat.
Yeah. It's just something about, you know why? Because it reminds me of like when my mom ate chicken breast and all I ever had was chicken breast growing up. And then when I would go to summer camp, they always had thighs. And whenever I taste chicken thighs now, it tastes like industrial, like food you get like in a cafeteria or like at summer camp or like something like that, like not food that you like would make at home. It's just like a psychological thing because that was the only place I ever had it.
Yeah, my mom only cooked chicken breasts too. Like I'm sure I had thighs like going to restaurants, but I never really thought about it. And now I think it's just most recipes, unless it's like a specific like cutlet recipe, most recipes like call for thighs, I guess.
Well,
and
they don't dry out as much.
Yeah.
So people like to cook with them, but I would rather, I think I know how to cook them now without them drying out too badly. And I would rather have it dry than have a thigh.
I do buy breasts every week too for lunch. Cause in my little fake sweet green salads that I make, I do some chicken breast.
Yeah.
But now, and I did try, cause I was like, I cannot keep buying these fucking organic $9.99 a pound. Cause I get, it's like two chicken breasts for $14. And you're like, that's insane.
That's a lot of money.
And like, so I went
unless
to Costco.
They're huge.
I don't eat like those two chicken breasts basically last John and me for like four salads each for like Monday through
Thursday.
That's
a lot.
Because I put, you know, I put chickpeas, I put cauliflower, I put beets, I put a bunch of stuff on the salad.
Oh, you're so also doing chickpeas.
Yeah, I'm doing. And if it was up to me, I would also do hard boiled eggs, but that's a no go with John.
I see.
It's just a protein vessel. But I did go to Costco and get like the like three pack of organic chicken breast that was a little cheaper, but honestly, because it was like $30 for $30 for three packs. Mm. So that would last me 3 weeks. I know that this is not a placebo effect. It really did not taste as good. Like those chicken breasts, those Costco ones, even though they're organic, are just not as good as the Mary's.
I believe you.
Well, that's definitely our grocery story for the week.
I know. That's chicken talk.
Can we talk a little bit about Ozempic? Because I won't talk about it again. Okay.
I'm always available to talk about Ozempic.
And it's not even, okay, because it's like, and I get, I've seen all the takes. I've seen, this is, you know, this means genocide for fat people.
That's not my argument.
You know, this is saving my life and blah, blah, blah. So like, it's good for some people, not good for other people. I just thought this article, and I think it's funny, like New York Magazine and The Cut, they're very good at doing these like cultural critiques that are both a little like snarky and sort of like, you're a little bit like making fun of the people in your article, but then it is also this aspirational wish fulfillment of like, these are the elite and these are like this is what rich people are doing right now.
Yeah.
And I think Ozempic, because it is so new and it is known in these sort of Hollywood and New York elite circles, it's become a little bit, it's like a, you know, it's almost like the same thing as why people like to watch Real Housewives. You're sort of looking down on them, but you're also sort of wishing you were them.
Yeah. So for me, that Ozempic article, I just kind of opened it and I like looked at it a little bit and closed it pretty quickly.
It's really long.
I think I read there was a paragraph that was going around. And the thing about it for me wasn't so much about the subject matter. It was just that there's this voice, and I've kind of talked about it before, a voice in writing. And it's like the 40-year-old brat. Like, I'm 38. But I'm going to talk like Cher Horowitz, and I'm going because of maybe your own wish fulfillment, or maybe just like as a way of letting, you know, your haters know that you know what they're going to say. So you're going to say it first. It's a total lack of authenticity, and it's totally not genuine. It's completely fake. And it was funny for a while, but I'm so tired of it. I'm not impressed by, you know, a middle-aged woman with an MFA living in New York City being able to capture the voice of an entitled Valley girl. I'm sick of it. And it's not that and maybe I'm misreading because I didn't read the full article, but it just felt like more of the same.
Yeah, I think that's just sort of that's like the voice that New York Magazine, I mean, I'm sure it's changed over the years because it's like an old magazine, but they have this sort of casual, like colloquial way of speaking that I think is supposed to be, yeah, just like you're slightly more rich sophisticated girlfriend, like giving you, you know, the tea.
Yeah. And I actually find it kind of condescending.
Yeah, no, it totally is.
I'm capable of reading something that's a little bit more straightforward than that. And I want to know what, you know, the writer actually thinks. I feel almost like, are you afraid of me? Are you afraid that I'm going to bully you for being too smart? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's what, because it's like, so you want more of like an authoritative voice, like the New Yorker or something?
I just want less like artifice, and I want it to be more genuine. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear the same voice every time I crack one of these things open.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like a little variety.
Yeah. I think because most of these people are probably like right around our age, and it is, yeah, it is like a Cher Horowitz, because we were sort of, because like, you have to remember, for all of our listeners younger than us, that moment when Clueless came out, like, I mean, so Valley Girl Speak had been a big deal before then, obviously.
I've been a lifelong victim. I'm chronic. I have chronic Valley Girl Speak.
But like the early 90s, like Seattle was the capital of the cultural world. And like everyone wanted to be, you know, like Singles, Reality Bites. Like these were the sort of like grunge slacker voice was sort of de rigueur for cool pop culture characters. And LA for like at least maybe the past decade, like the very late 80s to the early 90s, was no longer like the cultural capital of the world. People didn't really aspire to live in LA. And then because like the Pacific Northwest was the place to be. And then when Clueless came out, that was like a huge turning point into the late 90s. Like, I don't think Britney Spears, I don't think boy bands, I don't think any of that cultural shit up into, you know, Abercrombie, all that stuff. I think Clueless like paved the way for millennials to like be fun again, honestly.
I think you're right. I absolutely think you're right. I think it changed the way that we thought about like what it was like, hey, don't you want to be like this instead of these boring, rainy drifts?
Yeah. Well, because when I was a kid, I mean, maybe it's also a product of living in the Bay Area where like you're indoctrinated to like hate LA from like your
toddler
days.
Funny because I mean, we've talked about this before, but just for our listeners, I just want everyone to know it doesn't go both ways.
Oh, no.
Like, don't think about the Bay Area at all.
Exactly. But yeah, I always thought as like growing up that like LA felt so 80s to me. It was like, this was, you know, like the mall. Like I remember watching Karate Kid when I was a little kid, or even like LA Story. I don't know. It seemed very like frivolous and not like real, which the 90s were so into authenticity. And then I just remember like breathing this big sigh of relief when I saw Clueless, and I was like, oh, this actually does look like a fun place and it's cool again.
Yeah. I mean, I think, Clueless, I definitely wanted to be Cher. I didn't view that movie with any type of, well, I was too young to understand, but I didn't see any like critique in it or anything. It was 100% aspirational. I wanted everything. I wanted her outfits. I wanted the like whatever program she had to pick out her clothes. I wanted to like crash into cars in a Jeep. I wanted all of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I loved it.
And now if Cher were alive today, she would probably be on Ozempic.
If she was real at this point in her life, she would be on Ozempic for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure other people read this article. Like, After this, I like don't need to hear any more about it, because it does. I do feel queasy about it, and I get that there's both with, you know, people who are diabetic who need it, and then people who really struggle with their weight and like feel better on it. Like, God bless you. Like, I'm not judging you at all, but from just the idea of like shooting yourself every week with something that makes you not hungry sounds horrible to me. I don't know. I get so much pleasure out of food, and I love it so much. And I understand, I've definitely been through moments of my life where I, you know, wished I wasn't as hungry or wish I could lose weight. Like, I'm not saying I'm above all that, 'cause I'm definitely not, but there's something really creepy about it. And I just think long-term, it's sort of like Ambien, like, it's a great crutch. If you really can't sleep, it's a godsend, because you can sleep again and you don't have to worry about it. And that's what the people in this article kept saying. I don't have to worry about overeating. I don't have to worry about gaining weight. It's such a weight off of my mind.
My thing is, like, I remember Fen-Phen, and nobody thought there was anything wrong with that until everybody realized there was. And I think I'm kind of two minds about Ozempic as well, because on the one hand, I think, yeah, obesity is obviously like a very touchy subject for many people, but as someone who has struggled with their weight and been a yo-yo dieter, I do feel like I can say that obesity is a net negative. Like, it is not safe or healthy to be obese. It just isn't. And on the one hand, I understand that treating the root cause isn't always, sometimes you kind of have to triage something and you do have to treat the symptoms. And if because a lot like heart attacks and diabetes and things like that, those can be also symptoms of obesity. Like, people want to treat the root cause. Well, obesity is a root cause for a lot of other problems. And if you can, obviously people know, there's a lot of information out there about diet and exercise, and people in America seem unable to do it for whatever reason. So maybe medicine to just make people not fat is the right way to go. If that's where we are as a society, like, you know, I believe also in being sort of realistic about where you are and what your abilities are. No one really seems to be able to diet into weight loss for any, I mean, it doesn't really work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I do think at least the people that are being profiled by this article, these are not morbidly obese people. These are not people whose health is being compromised by their weight. This is an actress who needs to fit into her costumes. This is some middle-aged Jewish woman who just wants to lose 10 pounds. And then poor Arthur was the man who I just really related to, because his bio was just Arthur, a longtime gourmand.
Okay. I'm sorry, Arthur.
And but... I was like, oh, I get it. Because he says, he's like, and I identify also as a longtime gourmand. And he says, it's been a bit of a pleasure to not be so hooked to this stuff, meaning food.
Yeah.
You're suddenly a normal human being. I don't need to eat this giant haunch of dead flesh. But I'm like, I mean, a giant haunch of dead flesh is embellishing the truth. But like, you do, like, you are a human. Like, you do need to eat something. Like, you, it just, it's going to, I don't know. And I don't want to feel like I'm moralizing, but I'm like, this will catch up with you in the end. This is not an easy fix. Much like Ambien, like, it's a great crutch, but it doesn't teach you how to sleep.
Right.
This does not, like, teach you how to eat.
Right. But my argument is that I don't think anybody really needs to be taught how to eat. Like, I don't think that there is any lack of information on the internet about, or from the government or from your doctor, about a healthy meal plan where you can safely lose 2 pounds a week if you pair it, you know, with exercise and walking 30 minutes a day and drinking plenty of water and blah, 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 blah. I don't think that there's anybody who doesn't know that. Especially if you're trying to lose weight. But knowledge doesn't necessarily turn into action, especially with food, something that's so compulsive and emotional for people. And I, you know, technically you're not supposed to be prescribed Ozempic unless you are BMI 30 or higher. And if you are, then I think it's a good way to treat your medical condition. If you're not, and you're choosing to, like, subvert the, you know, recommendations on it, then you're an adult and that's your choice. I mean, you know, do whatever you want with your body. I don't care. But I feel like, the diet culture is unmanageable. And I also think that the idea of healthy eating, or like learning how to eat healthier, it doesn't work. I don't know. It's the information is out there and it's not working.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, I do think, and this is like my conspiracy brain, but I do think it is like the food supply in this country, whatever the cause, whether it's chemicals or Roundup or seed oils or whatever it is, it is making us fat in a different way than the food in other countries.
It's, I think, the serving sizes
are
bigger,
and the culture of,
and also, like, I think that there's something to the car culture too. I mean, nobody walks here. We don't have any, and we also have no ritual around eating. And also, I just think it's I think just like the easiest, most available thing and the cheapest thing is also the worst for you usually. Yeah. But then there are also people like him who are like a gourmand or whatever, who are like probably not eating McDonald's. It's probably like other stuff that's giving him issues. But, you know, we identify with, I don't know. It's also so individual. You know what I mean? Like, we don't think of meals as something to be shared. We're like, what do I want for my, you know?
Yeah. Self? Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I guess I do worry that because the images that people see are going to be, they're not going to be these like, you know, diabetics or obese people that this drug is helping. They're going to see the images of like actresses, who, you know, go from being, you know, a size 2 to a size 00.
Yeah.
And like, that's, and again, like as, you know, a product of like the 90s during the sort of the last moment where this like extreme thinness was constantly celebrated. It is like scary to think another generation of like mostly young women are going to be bombarded by these images again.
I mean, really I guess, but I think that like all body, I mean, whatever the, I mean, it wasn't just then. I mean, it was all the way through to like,
yeah, no, it's not specific to
skinny, like low rise jeans, whatever was popular. But I don't know. I mean, I think that what we've had for the last 10 years was also not great. Like the BBL was incredibly dangerous and people died all the time having it. And that was also, I mean, that's also a very unrealistic and almost cartoon. Like there's a girl who used to go to my bar class who obviously had a BBL and it just looked, it looked ridiculous. I'm sorry. Like she didn't look like a normal, like no one's body would really look the way that this girl's body looked. And some people, I don't know, like there have always been unrealistic, weird beauty standards.
Well, and just the idea of like a certain body type being in style is so gross. Cause it's like, obviously everyone has different bodies. So like what it's just like so fucked up in general.
That's not new. I mean, that's just always, it's always,
I don't know if any of our listeners have tried Ozempic, let us know.
Yeah. Also, because I did IVF or whatever, I froze my eggs. I'm not like as afraid of injecting myself with stuff.
That's true. Yeah. No, it's because you're just, it's just a tiny little needle and it's right in your flat. It's usually, you don't have to like find a vein or anything.
Yeah, you put it in your fat stomach.
Yeah. Since you're so fat. God. But I mean, this stuff is going to be, unless, you know, it's going to be found to like give like birth defects soon, it's going to get more and more popular, and because these drug companies can make a ton of money on it, it's just going to be more widely available.
The thing that makes me, that I think is really fucked up, is that people want to give it to like elementary school children, and I do think that that's insane and disgusting, and it makes me want to burn America to the ground.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously I'm not a parent, but it seems, and then you do see these some kids that are already having like so many health problems. But
it's crazy that we have so many obese children that would be necessary. But also at that age, I mean, it's like, can't you just, it seems like at that age, it should be easy to fix.
You'd think, but I think like we said earlier, there's just so many variables into what's going on at home, like what the diet is, what the culture is, what your genetics are. And I imagine for a lot of like busy parents, if you're watching your kids suffer, and you don't have the resources or whatever to like completely change your lifestyle, I could see how, I mean, this is probably a bad analogy, but like much like little kids getting on ADHD medicine or whatever when they're, you know, 8 years old.
I know, but it's like, that's something like there's no other, that's like a medical condition. I mean, I guess obesity is a medical condition too, but like there is a way to fix it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But there's other people that say, you know, no kid should be on Ritalin or whatever, Adderall when they're a little kid. And there are other ways to fix that too. I don't know if that's true or not, but
yeah.
I do think regardless, like everyone is somewhat over medicated, not to say that these things aren't incredibly helpful to certain people. I mean, similar to SSRIs when you're an adult, like,
oh yeah.
I think a lot of people, it's really necessary, but then I do think in general, that stuff is probably over-prescribed.
It's definitely, everything is over-prescribed in America. We're so fucked. Oh my God, whatever. But
anyway, I would never want to do this long-term, but it would be interesting to try for like, to just do one for 1 week and see how you feel. But then maybe I would like it too much, but I just like food too much. Even the I like the gourmand. He even says like when he has like a good week of eating ahead of him and he has like specific restaurants he wants to go to, he skips his shot.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
And he has diabetes. He's the one that needs it.
He needs it. Yeah. Well, good for him. I don't know. I am trying to, even though I did buy all these like expensive, like birch benders, whatever, I'm on a never ending quest to like be more and more normal in my eating, just to, to value insane and expensive products less, and just to consider it sort of a food source, just like a, just a biological necessity, and enjoy it, but not
fetishize it.
Not every fetishize meal. It. Yeah.
Which I know that is the thing I struggle with, because I look forward to every meal so much and I get so much pleasure out of it.
Yeah. But, well, my problem is that the marketing works so well on me that I think if I eat a certain food, I associate that with a certain lifestyle that I want. And realizing that that's just not true, and like trying to fight that is kind of my goal right now.
Yeah. Oh, that's actually a good segue. Did you read the Bon Appetit receipt this week?
Oh, I think I like looked it over and I thought it was really boring.
Well, I thought it was, okay. So it's an adjunct professor in Texas. So wait, people, I'm sure people know that listen to this podcast, but like the receipt is this thing that Bon Appetit does where they just go over a random person's like whole food diary for the week and like add up the exact costs and everything.
Yeah, I did. I did look at it. Yeah.
So this is an adjunct professor in Austin, Texas, making $30,000 a year. Which is also, that's like another just like insane thing that like our professors are basically like living borderline poverty.
Yeah. Well, adjunct is, it's like a part-time job.
It's like a freelance. Yeah. Like, you're not on the staff of the, you're just like teaching classes or whatever. But again, with these things are always crazy because like much like the, there was that grad student that was making even less than that was eating like really fancy food. Right. This woman, 28 years old, making $30,000 a year. She's spending, this week she spent $382 on food.
Which is stupid.
Which is like definitely, okay. There have definitely been weeks in my life where I probably spent that much in
I know food. For a fact that I have.
But like most of that would probably have to do with I went out for like a nice meal and like that counts as part of the money. She's just for groceries for, I mean, I guess she's buying some stuff for like her boyfriend and like some friends. But just groceries, she spends $259 for one person, mostly one person.
Yeah, and, it's unsustainable.
And she went to the grocery store 7 times that week.
I mean, I think that that's like, it's just an unhealthy, it's obviously neurotic.
Yeah. It is like a neurosis. And I understand that because I somewhat share her neurosis for always needing to have groceries in the house, like needing to have a very like regimented schedule, like when I'm buying groceries, like I get that.
Yeah.
But then I'm just thinking the cost, it just stressed me out because it didn't seem, I mean, maybe she just didn't share this information. It doesn't seem like she has family money. It doesn't seem like her boyfriend has like that high paying of a job.
Yeah. The other guy, the guy in Portland or wherever he was in, knew that town, Corvallis.
Yeah.
He, to me, seemed like he was lying about having family money, just because of the products that he was getting. And also his little stories about where he got things on these European trips or like trips to Asia. I was like, you have more money than you. It's literally impossible to do what you say you do. But this woman, it just really seemed like she was authentic and being honest about how much money she had. It didn't seem like she had a secret trust fund.
No. So I'm like, you're going into so much debt. If you're spending $400 a week on groceries,
crazy.
And you're making, you know, maybe like $2,000 a month in general, like
do you do anything?
You're going into debt. You are racking up credit card debt. Like that's the only way she could be doing it. Cause she's not getting food stamps. Yeah, it stressed me out because I'm
and that guy at least was getting food stamps.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing with making as someone of $30,000 experience.
Yeah,
it's too much to get food stamps, but not enough to live on. So you're sort of fucked, and you just have to budget. Like you don't get really any help.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I mean, and I related to her too because she was like, "Oh, I just bought this like whatever bottle of like $27 Pet Nat," and I'm like, Yep, that's something I would have done, I would do, and not be able to afford it. And I totally understood her. So I'm not like judging her, but I'm like, I was just like stressed out for her.
Yeah, it's very stressful.
And she also is, I mean, this is very like late 20s, but she's also like, I'm a vegan, or I'm mostly a vegan because it just like makes me feel better. But then she's eating like Takis and like chips every day, and like going through like 10 blocks of like Violife cheese every week.
Yeah. it's very
like junk food vegan.
Yeah, which I don't know.
She's 28. She can deal with it.
Is she going to have 2 bags of chips for lunch?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she had. And that's the thing. Like, it's crazy. Like, she spent almost $300 on groceries. But she didn't even chips. Go. Yeah, chips. I know. And it was just like these little like Trader Joe'sy type meals. It was just like.
Yeah, I mean, her meals all seemed like kind of disgusting to me. I think that's why I was like scrolling through it, and I was like, I don't know. They just didn't seem very good.
No, she didn't seem like a natural cook, or like she just seems like the type of person who loves like trendy ingredients. So she's like, I bought this like jackfruit and like kimchi and like weird like grain-free tortillas and like pet nat and just like Takis. And it's just like, she's just constantly shoveling this like garbage in her mouth.
Yeah, just all over the place, kind of. Although I have used that Miyoko's liquid vegan pizza mozzarella before.
Was it good?
It was actually pretty good. It was when I was like after my Whole 30, when I was trying to do like very dairy free, which is why I have like 5 tubs of Kite Hill cream cheese and butter in my fridge that I'm now like refusing to use because they're not good for you.
Oh no. Yeah.
I mean, they're better for you than other like fake.
Sure. And they taste, like, I mean, Miyoko's and Violife, like for those type of things, Kite Hill, like those do taste pretty good.
They do. But that mozzarella cheese, I thought was, if you're not eating mozzarella and you want to make a pizza, that's what I would definitely use.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you need to use more than they tell you on the bottle. And you're only supposed to put it in a very thin layer. So.
And this woman is in Austin, and I don't think she had one breakfast taco or one.
Well, she hates the tacos there because she's from like.
From El Salvador, or she's from San Antonio. So no,
she's from like another part of Texas. Yeah. And so there's some sort of rivalry. Also, I'm sorry, like not to be one of these like anti-vegan people, but it's like if you're in Texas, like what's the fucking point with the breakfast? Like the whole point is like the smoking.
Well, yeah, it's like it's Austin. It's keep Austin weird. They're.
I guess they have vegan.
They're like the vegan capital of Texas. But yeah, I'm like, if I had one whiff of that barbecue, I would.
Fuck, I'm fucked.
I'm there. Yeah.
The food in Austin. Oh my God. I only went to Austin once for like a long weekend, and I'll never forget the Tex-Mex.
Oh, I've never been to Austin.
Really good.
All right. Any other articles, news you want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, like my thing was so unrelated. It's almost not even worth bringing up, but I did get deeply, deeply obsessed with the Murdaugh trial this week.
Someone at tennis last night was trying to talk to me about it. He's just like this rich guy from South Carolina who killed people.
It's actually really twisted.
Really? And okay. I'm gonna do a deep dive. I'm sure there will be some sort of Hulu limited series.
There are already two that came out way before the verdict or even the trial started. There's a Netflix one, and then there's a superior HBO one. And
okay.
I actually recommend both, but the HBO one is definitely better. The Netflix ones has a lot of talking heads with the people involved, which is interesting. Hmm. But the HBO one does a little bit more of a deep dive into the family, although I would love more deep dive into the family because they were this super prominent family of lawyers that have been the prosecutor in this small area of South Carolina for over 100 years, obviously, and they have super deep ties to the police and the banks and just like all of the like powerful institutions. They're like right in the middle of it. And they have always been incredibly shady, possibly violent. You know, there are all these rumors about them making people disappear and all these other things for years. And I think all the power and the privilege just caught up with them. And finally, this last guy had just too much and was a complete sociopath and couldn't control himself. And it's it's just like a totally sick and disgusting story. That is
all right. I'm definitely gonna watch the HBO one at least and see.
Yeah, watch the HBO one at least,
because it's these like true crime things as they're happening. I just honestly like try to tune them out, because I feel like it's like a Nancy Grace type of thing where I'm just like, I don't want to even involve myself in learning about this. But then once they're over, I'm like, okay, now I want to know.
I'm like that now with everything. I'm like that with TV shows. Like when people are every week, everyone's like, oh, did you see this? Did you see that? And I'm like, I can't keep up with it. I have to watch, I have to binge it. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same thing with these true crime things, especially if there's a big trial going on, because every day there will be a huge, you know, it's like 12 hour or however long the trial is that day, plus with all the news coverage and everything, and people will be talking about things that I don't know what they're talking about, and I get completely overwhelmed. And this one in particular is really weird, because the guy is obviously keeping a lot of dark secrets about, especially about his money, that still hasn't come out. And so there are it's just still kind of a mystery, even though he was convicted yesterday. He definitely killed his wife and his son, but why is still, I mean, people have a general idea, but the specifics aren't really like hammered out. And he had a lot of money that is just seems to be gone, and I don't know where it is. So
weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Well, that is much more interesting than the last piece of news I want to talk about, which is Gwyneth doing some, she's trying to raise $75 million for this weird venture capital fund that she's starting with this.
Okay, first of all, I was like, my first thought is that she's doing like a GoFundMe, which is obviously not, but I was like, I'm not giving her any money. Why would I say
well,
that?
I hate to break it to you, but she's not asking you for money.
It's not me. Okay, fair.
But it's like, this is just like, I mean, this is totally what I'm expecting her to do for, unfortunately, for the rest of her life. It's called Kinship Ventures. It's run by Gwyneth and this longtime beauty industry entrepreneur named Moj Mahadra. And again, it's just like gobbledygook. The Los Angeles-based firm will seek to invest in early stage consumer goods and technology companies. Well, I guess that's not that confusing. And then typical check sizes, if you have like a fun product, you can pitch it to them. They can give you between $500,000 and $3 million. And then it says last year it backed a payment platform called MoonPay, which I haven't heard hide nor hair of.
So heard of that.
So this seems like an inauspicious debut, but I'm sure because it's Gwyneth and she's asking for $75 million, she'll get it.
I hope she does.
And
do whatever you want with it, Gwyneth. You deserve it.
Sure.
I'm looking at her Instagram right now because I'm trying to find information about this. I'm not seeing it, but I did see that she posted the top three pictures on her grid are Brad wearing a chunky cardigan, great, saying happy birthday to him. The very next one is Mr. Coldplay. Wait, what's his fucking name?
Chris Martin,
the father of her two children. Wait. Their birthdays are one day apart.
That's sick. That is really like she went to an astrologer and she's like, when should my husband be born?
Yeah, no, she knows. I bet you that the birthday kind of sealed the deal with Brad for her.
Oh, yeah.
But she posted a very sweet thing like, happy birthday. We love you. You're a great dad, which the conscious uncoupling is, I think, aspirational. Sorry.
It really worked for him and them. And I loved the comments. I mean, it does seem like everyone who knows Chris Martin, I mean, I don't really like their music, but like, it does seem like everyone who knows him says he's like the nicest guy.
I'm sure he is. But then the third one is another happy birthday to the third. So first was Brad, then was Chris. And then today is
her next husband,
Tracy Anderson.
What if she leaves Brad for Tracy Anderson?
I would love it. She said, happy birthday. I guess you aren't technically a spouse, but we've been in a marriage these past 17 years.
Wow. So she is Team Tracy forever.
So two important pieces of information. One, she's throwing her support behind Tracy Anderson after the negative press she got last week. And two, everyone in her life that's close to her has a birthday within a day of each other. So that is also very interesting for
No one loves Pisces more than Gwyneth Paltrow.
Which is interesting. What is she? I don't even know.
I think she's a Virgo, right? Or no? Oh God, no, we should know. This is so embarrassing that we don't know.
No, it's okay. It's kind of cool that we don't know. She wouldn't know. Well, she doesn't know ours.
She doesn't know ours, so we don't know.
She seems to me like she would either be like a Virgo or like an Aries. A Cancer or Leo. Yeah. Or a Taurus. No, she's not a Taurus. Let's see what she is. I have to look it up.
Look it up. This is so embarrassing.
I know. There are probably people who are like
screaming at us. Cause I know when I listen to podcasts and like the people that are talking like should know something and they don't, I get so angry and I'm like, how dare you? You have a podcast like about movies or something and you don't know about this specific movie, or like you have a podcast about politics and you don't. And so I'm sure that's exactly what we're doing right now.
I'm sure it's like really, really annoying. She is a Libra.
Okay. I could see that.
I dated a Libra.
I honestly don't think I know any Libras or are friends with any Libras.
I think I kind of like them. I think that they're like, I feel like Libras are like grounded and cool, but I don't really know what
that's late September, early October.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone in my life that's a Libra.
They need to socialize. They seek serenity, love of style and romance, going to bat for justice, the ability to create a thriving partnerships at every turn.
Sounds like our queen.
Sounds a lot like her. The traits that are owed to Libra's ruling planet Venus, which oversees love, beauty, art, and how you spend money. Well, that's Gwyneth. So.
She knows how to make money. She knows how to spend money.
She sure does. All right.
Shall we get into the newsletters?
Yeah, let's get into it.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
All righty. What was your best of the week?
My best of the week, well, keeping with what we're talking about, was spring horoscope.
Totally.
I loved mine. I don't really understand what's so special about this horoscope, but mine was, you know, you've been down in the dumps and working hard, and the fruits of your labor are about to pay off. So just chill and enjoy it, which, you know, will that come true or not? We'll see. But that was my horoscope.
That was nice.
Feel good, yeah.
Mine felt good too. Cause mine, So I guess big picture, Pluto, which is like, as far as I know, it's like sort of a bad planet, or it's like dark. It has been in Capricorn for like 15 years, since November 2008, when the O'Bungler got elected. Interesting.
So, what? And
Pluto has been in Capricorn since November 2008, and it's finally leaving.
The O'Bungler?
Yeah. President.
In 2008, Obama?
Yeah.
Why is he the O'Bungler?
That's just a nickname for him.
Oh, is that what like the Republicans
call? Yeah, yeah, the O'Bungler.
I've never heard that.
Oh, you never heard? You don't listen to enough right-wing media.
I guess not. That was before they had Trump, who could like really come up with some catchy names, because that one doesn't really roll off the tongue.
It's old school, I guess.
I guess, yeah. I've heard O'Bummer, which I also O'Bummer think is funny. Yeah. Oh.
But I'm so glad now that I know like not everything in my life is going amazing is because this stupid planet has been in my house for 15 years.
Oh my God.
And on March 23rd, guess who gets Pluto now?
Not me.
Aquarius, oh, me. Baby.
But it's actually, you'll get a taste. No, but my Pluto is good for me. It says, many of you who know about Pluto moving into Aquarius will be afraid. Pluto has such a destructive and disruptive reputation.
I think they're just trying to make you feel better.
But you should choose faith over love, faith and love over fear. You may safely take this year as a break from the obstacles you have faced. They have had their place and reason. And if you take some time to reflect, you'll see just how far they've helped you come. Pluto stays in Aquarius for only 3 months this year, March 23rd to June 11th. So you'll get a taste of what's to come when Pluto enters Aquarius again in 2024. Oh. It's more about transformation and change than negativity. So lean in.
So you get a little taste and then you don't have to really buckle down till November 2024.
But they're saying it's good. And they're also saying Saturn, the planet that governs restriction and cold hard facts, is preparing to leave your sign after 2.5 years. If you've faced your responsibilities and worked hard, the rewards are winging their way towards you. It's good.
Maybe. Yeah. So I guess Pluto just means like, it's like major transformation. So it's like, it says Pluto demolishes systems that don't work and encourages you to rebuild on firmer footing. So my, forecast says, depending on how you view upheaval, commitments, responsibility, and your attitude to authority in general, this may have been especially challenging and especially riveting for you. All that is going to change when Pluto moves into Aquarius on March 23rd, giving you a break from what has now become normal and ushering in more joy and love. So it's like, I have been under so much turmoil and so much transformation for the past 15 years, I don't even know what normal feels like anymore. And now I'm finally going to get to experience normal.
But that's how I feel about my life. Like, I feel like I've been living in hell for, you know, my entire life. So why now it's going to get worse? I mean, how much worse can it get?
Well, it could get either worse or better, depending on how much you've prepared and how much, maybe you just got to ride the wave.
Well, I have 3 months to kind of get a taste for it. And then in 2024, I'll be ready. That's good.
Right.
That's good.
Whew. Intense.
I'll report back.
I'm just glad, like, since Jennifer Freed has sort of like meandered away from real horoscopes, I'm glad that like this is a woman, Carolyn Faulkner, and she has done a really good job. I like her as Goop's new resident astrologer.
I like her too. I'm putting March 23rd. I'm putting this in my calendar.
Oh yeah. We should have like a ceremony where I can transfer Pluto to you.
I know we should.
Do a moon ceremony.
Enters Aquarius.
March 23rd. Wow.
Pluto enters Aquarius from March 23rd and it ends on June 11th.
And then where is it going before November 24th?
I don't know.
It better not be going back to Capricorn.
Well, it's in the calendar. So we'll see.
Wow. I did like these. These like forecasts, they made sense to me more than other forecasts for some reason. I don't know.
When I first like opened my eyes this morning and like opened Goop and was reading it, this felt really exciting for me, but now that I'm looking at it in a new light, it's terrifying.
I do think that they were just trying to make you feel better with your
horoscope. Ryan,
because they don't want to be like, oh, sucks for you, you're getting Pluto now. It's like
but like your life hasn't been that bad.
I know. No,
it's been in your life for 15 years. So in the last 15 years, like you moved to LA.
I met John. Married. Yeah, yeah. No, it's,
I mean, good stuff has happened to you.
Oh, so absolutely, absolutely. I definitely feel much more myself.
Did you notice how I put "you met me" above "you got married"?
Oh, I was
like listing all the things that happened to you. I was like, you moved to LA, you met me, and you got married.
It's true that in that order.
Well, I mean, you know, we started this podcast.
No, it's not like Carolyn Faulkner says, it's not all bad. It just means it's a time of turmoil and transition. And now I feel like I've had enough turmoil and transition, and I just want to fucking relax.
But they always say, like, this is a time of turmoil and transition. I mean, I've never seen one that wasn't like, you're going through a tumultuous time of transition, but it's okay. Just be optimistic and it'll work out.
Yeah.
This is, I'll get a taste of what's to come. Let's see. You may safely take this year as a break from the obstacle. It says take this year as a break from the obstacle.
Because it's going to be just too much to handle. So you just need to hide under your bed.
What bad stuff could possibly happen? I mean, but Saturn planet governs restriction and cold hard facts, and it's leaving my sign.
Oh, right. So you won't be and restricted by facts anymore.
I've already faced my responsibilities and worked hard. So it's time for my rewards to come.
That's true. It says if you have, so you have to really,
I have. I've done a good job. So many of you know about Pluto moving to Aquarius. I can't stop thinking about this. I got to get this woman on the horn. All right.
I'm sure there are people that listen to this or people that we can reach out to that know way more about astrology than we do that we can really, maybe we should like do like a group session of.
It also says that I can take a break from the obstacles and they have helped me. When I take a break, I'll see how far they've helped me come.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's more about transformation than negativity. All right. I'm all about it. I'm going to transform. Right. It's going to be good. I am welcoming Pluto into Aquarius.
I wish I knew about this back in 2008 and I could have like prepared myself a little bit more.
You could have prepared.
Unfortunately, I was too busy, you know, cheering in the streets for that guy.
For that neoliberal fashion.
You know, wedding drone bomber. Sorry, everyone's gonna hate us who like is a Democrat.
I know. Well, when I said it, I was
we're half kidding,
but yeah.
At least I mean Marianne's gonna announce March 4th in 2 days, and then we'll all be saved. I can buy a fucking new t-shirt. I'm so excited.
Grateful that I kept my old one.
We have to see her. I'm sure she'll do a fundraiser again. We have to go see her.
Oh God, I hope she's back at the Saban. I saw that she was gonna be in Washington, DC, and I was trying to get my brother to go. We're thinking like, can I fly out? But
yeah, I know. I was pissed off that she was doing her announcement in Washington, D.C.
I hope that she incorporates into her announcement some information about Pluto entering Aquarius because I just
better
need more clarity on the subject. We'll see. Anyway.
All right. So that was clearly both of our bests.
Both of our bests.
What was your worst?
Let me fire up my notes. Hang on, I close my notes up like a fool. My worst was sorry, the Salty Girl. Haven't been to Salty Girl. I'm sure it's good. I'm sure it's fine. I just I think it's a little bit trendy and it's kind of a fad, and that always makes me sort of depressed. I think like I like tinned fish. I've bought expensive tinned fish at a nice restaurant before. I understand the appeal, but I'm not going to get on this. I'm not going to join in with everybody. I mean, it's a fad. It's going away. It's not here to stay. Don't get too attached to it.
I get what you're saying. And I do think the tinned fish craze is definitely like a fad, but Salty Girl is a very well-respected seafood restaurant from the quote unquote great city of Brad Falchuk himself, Boston, Massachusetts. And they opened an LA outpost here in, I think it's in West Hollywood or something, or like Sunset Strip. This is the thing I would try because I do want to, and I don't care about the tin fish. I might buy a can of tuna there or a sardine. I might not. I really just care about lobster rolls and clam chowder. Like, I'm a very basic man when it comes to seafood, and I just want lobster rolls and clam chowder. So that's what I want to try. And I do feel like even though tinned fish is a fad, lobster rolls and clam chowder are a perennial classic.
Oh, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. Those are a classic. Yeah. And I do like, I'm looking at their menu, that you can get your lobster roll warm, because I think a cold lobster roll is honestly very a disappointing thing to eat. I don't really like it.
It depends on my mood. If I'm in a hot outside East Coast summer, you know, humid, blah, 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 I wouldn't mind a cold lobster roll. But the ones at, what's the one that Gwyneth likes that is like in Malibu and
I've never been that, like, bar where you go and get your oysters.
Yeah, and it's really good. Oh fuck, I forget what it's called, but they only have hot lobster rolls. I think they only have the warm ones with the butter, and it is really, really good.
Those are so good. Yeah, no, I would. I mean, look, I'm not gonna say that I wouldn't eat this shit. I would, but I'm not going to get excited about it.
The thing is, like, I like an expensive tin of fish. I think some of them are tasty, but it's sort of like a price markup. I mean, with wine, I guess everyone's just sort of used to, like, spending way too much money on a bottle of wine at a restaurant. Yeah. But like a tin of fish, I'm like, you're not cooking it. You're not doing shit. Why am I spending like $20 on a can of tuna?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't totally understand it. Although I do think that some of those, like, I can't even remember, but some of those, like, really good, like, olive oil packed tunas, like that one that comes in a jar.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of them are really tasty.
And now I'm sorry, I only get it in oil now.
Fuck that.
I used to be, I mean, when I was growing up, it was just like only water. I never saw one that was in olive oil, but now it's all olive oil all the time.
You better. Yeah. And, but like, I'm like, why, if I'm already, because you know, if we're going to our local shoppy shops, we're already spending, let's say, like, $8 to $12 on a good can of sardines or tuna or whatever.
Right.
And so I'm not going to spend twice that just for the privilege of, like, going to Salty Girl and getting like a, like, cocaine line of black pepper on like a marble slab or whatever they're doing it.
Tell me about it. Although, the first time I ever had this was at, Bell's in, Los Alamos. And, I was really excited to get an expensive tin of fish in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And it was, they gave it to you with crackers and butter. And it's undeniably good.
That sounds great. You know who invented this craze, or at least popularized it originally? Gabrielle Hamilton, the chef of the long, dearly departed restaurant in the East Village on First Street. This was mid-2000s. This was like height of Olsen Twins mania. She opened this restaurant, and the appetizer du jour that everyone couldn't get their hands on fast enough was sardines served with Triscuits and Dijon mustard.
Huh. Oh, is that why it's like the hot girl lunch?
Yeah, but this was like 15 years ago. This was like, wow. I never in my life imagined eating a sardine. I just thought of them as like, oh, this is what my mom hates them because her, like, my grandpa would just like eat them every day for lunch, and it like stunk up the house, and that's why she doesn't want to be Jewish anymore.
I know. Well, our our eating habits are just like things that old grandparents would eat that we used to think were disgusting.
Yeah.
Like Brussels sprouts, like, totally. were the first, and then
because the baby boomers hate all the stuff that the baby boomers had to eat growing up. They hated them, so like liver, Brussels sprouts, sardines or whatever. So then when we were growing up, it was never even in the picture, and we had to rediscover them.
Yeah. I know. And then the next generation is going to be having, like, I don't know,
lean cuisines,
grape nuts and stuff.
Yeah. They're going to love Slim Fast. And like,
yeah. Oh God. I actually love Slim Fast, but
I honestly don't think I've ever had one.
The best I ever had when I was really young, or they used to make me eat, because I, like, couldn't eat breakfast in the morning, and they would give me Carnation instant breakfast.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh my God.
Just pure sugar.
It's just sugar. It was so good. I drank that.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I hope I can take you on a date to Salty Girl, because John sure isn't going to go.
Look,
with all this
I will go to Salty Girl, and I will rack up a hefty bill, and I will eat my weight in tinned fish. All I'm saying is, I'm feeling very nonconformist. I'm feeling very skeptical of everything that seems like a trend right now.
Yeah. I really do think it's just that tin fish stuff. Like, cause this is, you know, there are, you know, Connie and Ted's is around. There's like a couple like nice sort of East Coast style fish places in Los Angeles. So yeah. I don't think that this is like reinventing the wheel. But I don't know. And the LA Times, they all, I mean, it might be just like PR, but they also said like Salty Girl now has like the best lobster roll in the city.
Oh, I would just get the lobster. I mean, I would eat tin fish too. I didn't even know they had that other stuff. I only have heard of it. I'll be honest. I barely read. It's just a small paragraph anyway.
And yeah, it's like, how did you barely read it? It was two sentences.
I don't know. I just saw, oh, Salty Girl's on here and kept going. But I've just only thought of it as like a tinned fish restaurant.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I've like heard about it. But I didn't realize that they had like a more extensive menu that I just looked at. That actually does look pretty good.
It's and just a bunch of cats serving you. Like,
it's cute. Yeah.
All right. Well, my worst. Oh, I thought this was going to be your worst because it was the Bean article.
This is my saddest.
I mean, it's pretty sad. It's like sad. I was so pissed off. Okay, because as you all know, one of the greatest regrets of my life was to stop being in the Rancho Gordo Club, and now I can't get back in it anymore because once you quit, you have to go to the bottom of the waitlist again.
Oh no.
And so. But like I had so many pounds of beans in my, I mean, it was insane. It was crazy. Yeah. So it's for the best. But anyway, so I thought, oh, this is going to be another guy who's like we need some disruption in this industry. Rancho Gordo is like the Shell Oil. Like we need a competitor to Rancho Gordo. And I thought that this guy was going to be it, but it's not. He's basically doing like fucking like Rice-A-Roni shit. It's like pre-cooked like packages.
Oh, I know, the Dozen Cousins, right?
Yeah, it's like I don't want that. I don't want like just slip it in my microwave. That's disgusting.
The Dozen Cousins is a fave of Melissa Hartwig for those who are doing the vegan Whole30.
Okay.
Which is very bean heavy because it's basically the only thing you're allowed to eat. Yeah. Other than
this would be good for 4-hour body probably too.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you want, because right, like in 2016, there was a huge bean craze and everybody was making pots of beans and everyone would be like, my brothy pot of beans.
Yep. I blame who's the one, the little test kitchen manager in Bon Appetit with the curly hair.
I don't know.
Forget. She was the one that always was obsessed with beans.
Oh, right. Carla.
Carla. Yeah.
So the brothy pots of beans, whatever. I tried it a couple times. I was like, these just taste like beans. I don't understand what's so fucking special about this. They were like, your broth is going to be so velvety and so delicious and da da da. And I was like, what? It's bean. I don't understand why people get so obsessed with fucking beans. Like, to me, a bean is nothing. Like, it tastes like a little mealy lump and that's it. Like, what are you getting out of these fucking beans that's so great?
Honestly, I think these people, Carla et al, they're putting gallons of olive oil in them.
Yeah,
they're putting a whole fucking wheel of Parmesan cheese. It's basically like just cheese and fat with beans, and then they're saying like, oh my god, these beans are so good.
It's anything would be good if you cooked it that way.
Yeah.
And I've also always thought that beans were more trouble than they're worth because cooking them takes fucking forever. And then if you open a can, that's another pain in the ass because people are just like, just open a can of beans and then scoop some out. It's like, what am I supposed to do? They're in this grotesque like slime liquid. So I'm supposed to like, do you drain them? Do you not? And then you only ever use half of one. So then I have like,
what? Why are you using half a can of beans?
Because it's just me. I don't want to eat an entire can of beans in my salad or whatever.
Leave it for the next day. And
I do leave it for the next day, but I'm saying then I have like a tiny Tupperware of these like little beans rolling around in my fridge and then I never eat them and they go rotten. And I'm like, that was a waste of $2. I shouldn't have bought the fucking jar in the first place. I hate beans.
I mean, I really just think you should stop buying beans because I get the fact of like, oh, it's annoying to like cook beans from scratch, but to say that it's annoying to like open a can of beans and have it in your fridge for a day, I think it's just you really don't like beans.
I think I just don't like them because it's like, it's disgusting. Like, I think the liquid they're in makes me is nauseating. That like
aquafaba, it's the aquafaba.
I know. And I've actually made, once I did make a recipe where for black bean burgers where you use the black bean aquafaba as well, and they were the best black bean burgers I've ever had. But
that does sound good. I usually discard my aquafaba. I shouldn't.
I just like, they're not doing anything for me.
So I get, so maybe you would actually like this Dozen Cousins because there's no can.
Yeah.
It's pre-cooked. It's like those, you know, they have, it's like vegetarian Indian entrees that they have in the,
yeah, I love those.
They're just sort of boring. And I'm sure these flavors, I mean, it's like, you have a Creole gumbo, you have a Trinidadian chickpea. It seems like good flavors, but I just can't imagine that this grocery store pre-cooked beans is that good to be on Goop.
Yeah, because they've always been in, I don't even know if they're in grocery stores. Like they've always been.
They claim to be in Whole Foods. I looked at the store finder, but I haven't seen them there, but it says that they are.
They're very, they're like in with like health conscious people.
Yeah. But are these beans aren't any more healthy than other beans. They're just supposedly like easier to use because you
probably
don't have to cook them yourself.
My guess is it's like it's probably all bullshit. But I think they're also saying that, you know, maybe like they have like Mexican cowboy pinto beans or whatever that I'm sure are healthier than like your average can of like baked beans or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're making cowboy beans or refried beans from scratch, you're using a lot of like fat and salt. So these are probably, yeah. I don't know. I really think opening a can of beans and, you know, putting in some onion and garlic and some salt, a little bit of butter, olive oil is pretty easy.
Yeah. Except for every time I've done it, it's tasted like shit.
I mean, I don't know. I think you just don't like beans.
You might be right about
a little smoked paprika, a little cumin. Perfect.
I mean, but okay. So again, I'm sorry. I've asked this question before, but it's like, so you open a can of beans, drain it, you put it in a pot.
Yeah.
Then you add olive oil, butter, and seasonings and mix it all up.
What I usually do if I'm, well, you can even be lazy and just put it all in together and just turn it up and cook it. But usually I would saute onions and garlic, maybe a little cumin seeds or whatever to begin with. Then, yeah, I drain the beans, put them in the pot, add a little bit of water or broth. Even though it's the same amount of water that would be in the can, but it's just not the gross bean water. And then maybe a bay leaf, maybe some oregano, maybe whatever spices you want, and a little bit of fat. So you're doing a little butter or oil or whatever. And then you just cook it on low for like 10, 15 minutes until the flavors all meld. And then, you know, you can put it on a tortilla, you can put it with some rice, you could do whatever you want.
Like I like beans if I go to like, if I get like a burrito or something, like I like the beans in it. Mm-hmm. I don't like them that much, I guess. I don't want them in my home.
Okay. Or the other, I mean, that's sort of like the Mexican way or the Indian way of doing it. But like the European way, I also like the Carlo way of just drowning it in olive oil and Parmesan with like white beans or something.
With white beans.
And those are good. I do them in the Instant Pot, but you could, yeah, if you do them on the stove, it's going to take forever.
Maybe my problem is that I'm always doing this with black beans, which I just don't think are very good.
Yeah. Black beans are usually my least. Oh, I also do like if I'm doing a black bean, Goya, I know that they're like, you know, Trump fans or whatever, but they have like a great, a Saison or an adobo. And those are really easy because you just, it's like, it has all these different spices and a little, I think they have a little MSG in there or something. It's like the sort of traditional Cuban way of making them, which are really good. That's okay, what
I
usually
do. Like beans. I like them too. Like I love, have you ever been to Versailles?
No, I never have.
It is so fucking good. It's this Cuban place that's been in LA for like my entire life and it's delicious. I love their black beans. I like them in a restaurant. I just, when I cook them, I think they always just taste like shit. I think I cook them like too high. I think I use too high heat or something when I do.
Yeah, cook them low. And I think you just need a lot of fat and salt. I mean, but that's again, like that makes everything taste good. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'll revisit it at some point.
And if I see a Dozen Cousins at the store when I go this weekend, I'll buy a pack and test it out. But
yeah,
I do. I love those Trinidadian chickpeas. Those taste really good.
Well, we'll see.
All right. So that was your saddest.
Yeah.
My saddest was, this is, we've all known this for a long time, but I finally got the official word. Someone, actually one of our listeners, pointed this out to us, which was really helpful.
I'm nervous. What?
That Caitlin is officially no longer affiliated with Goop and hasn't been for a good 6 months. So one of our listeners took a screenshot of Caitlin's LinkedIn page.
Which we should have just done that in the first place. I mean, it did not even cross my mind.
But I know. It's like the easiest, like, how dumb do we have to be to like.
Well, I don't know. I guess I just like never think of these people having like a LinkedIn, but of course they do.
So yeah, it says like, she's worked at Goop until September of 2022. And now her job is like private chef. So I don't know if she's like working for a
private chef
family or she's doing freelance work. But so that's sad. I mean, I had my complicated feelings towards Caitlin.
But maybe that's why you've been hating her so much for the past few months. Cause she literally hasn't been there.
And like, I feel like, and so the thing is, we were just wondering like, did she quit? Did she get fired? I really think that Goop itself is just no longer in the business of recipe development or food things. So I think they just laid her off and they don't have a food. They never hired another food director. So
yeah,
I think,
and it seems like, they could replace her very quickly.
I'm sure there's a million people who would want to do it. So I think it's just sad that like, this is like officially, I don't know that we're going to get like new recipes from Goop unless it's some other author who's like plugging their cookbook.
I think that there might just be, they might be having like an internal identity crisis with food right now because Gwyneth pivoted to paleo. The paleo space is very unglamorous. Even though glamorous people want to do paleo, the food is all the like recipe development is always like very suburban and not like very sophisticated. So maybe they're just trying to take a minute and see where they want to go with food.
I hope so. I hope they figure out what they want to do. And like, I mean, I wouldn't be like that thrilled if they only, were doing paleo recipes, but. And I don't think that they would, because I really do think Goop as a brand is like more expansive than just Gwyneth's own personal.
Yeah, it's not just her personal preferences for sure.
And like Goop did have, I think, a distinct brand in as their recipes were like very tasty, very complicated, very expensive to make, but like good if you had the effort to make them. They're like, it's like comfort food that's a little healthier than normal. And like way more complicated than it would normally be.
I also think that they've all been pretty easy to modify if you kind of have an idea of what you're doing. Because I've made a lot of Goop recipes. I think I've modified all of them. I've cut things out of all of them and they've all tasted good. So maybe I've never really made a true one, but you can read through and be like, I don't need that. I don't need that.
Because all using, even if the ingredients are crazy, they're all using like classic techniques. So like if it's a meatball recipe, you're just like, oh, this is how to make a good meatball. And you can sort of do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I don't think that the Goop recipe game is totally dead. I think it's just, maybe Pluto is stopping by in their house and they're having a moment of transition.
Yeah.
We'll see,
I will, be quite excited to see where they go if they hire a new food director. And Caitlin, if you're listening, now that you're no longer affiliated with Goop, we welcome you to join us on the pod if you want to talk about
your
experience.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we're sorry that
it wasn't you, obviously, it was them.
Yeah, we were totally, misinterpreting you because there's still her byline on everything, which is so
weird. I know. Well, yeah, because it's the old articles. Because I literally was like, oh, she's just lazy. And like, because you know how those companies now are like unlimited PTO and it's just like they don't pay you very much and they don't give you any benefits, but they're like, oh, you can cut. So I just thought Caitlin was doing like 6 months PTO.
Yeah, I know. But nope.
Nope.
She got fired or quit. Probably fired. Okay.
Laid off. She's collecting unemployment. Well, she can't collect unemployment if she's working as a private chef. So, Caitlin, you better.
Caitlin is fine. She would
keep that under the table.
A job is just a hobby for her and all these people who work there.
Sure. All right.
Okay. So, in the interest of time, I did write my try and buy are the same. So
oh, cool, cool.
My runner-up for best and something I really liked was for the most natural look, use a brush, Gucci Westman's easy to follow guide. So I, when I'm doing my makeup, I use a blush. I use a blush brush, but I usually use a beauty blender for everything else. And I've always admired people who use a brush to apply their foundation because I think it seems more sophisticated and adult. I am just incredibly lazy about cleaning my brushes. And I also, like my brush sets always get all over the place and I only buy really cheap ones. So would I ever spend $575 on a set of makeup brushes? I doubt it. But would I, if, you know, I, you know, was a billionaire, I absolutely would. That would have been a long gone. Like I would have purchased this years ago. I think these brushes all look really nice and clean. I know that I can find a like dupe for them. Sure. I want to know the difference between a really expensive one and like a cheap piece of shit, because obviously I exclusively buy cheap pieces of shit when it comes to any type of makeup applicator. That's another thing where I'm like, who cares? You know, you're just going to like zhuzh it and try to make it look okay. And I don't wear makeup. I don't wear like a lot of makeup anyway, but I did like this explanation of, okay, here's what you use for this, here's what you use for that, because I'm always a little bit confused, especially about like the baby blender brush. Like, what are you supposed to do with that? This is a little explanation of it. Would I use it this way? Who knows? I'm using all my brushes, all the small ones I use interchangeably, and I almost exclusively use them for eyeshadow, which apparently is wrong. So anyway, that's what I would try. I would try using brushes well, the ones that I do have, which are all from like Amazon and cost like 1 second and also or 1 cent and have like makeup caked on them from years of use. And I just like rub it on my hand when I want to clean it off, which is not what you're supposed to do. And I would also try investing in like an expensive set, which is like a fantasy of mine for years that I always forget about it.
I mean, what are they made of? Like, is it like ivory, you know, human hair, or the bristles are like,
I have no fucking idea. Nylon.
Nylon? That doesn't seem that luxurious, but...
Cruelty-free nylon bristles and lacquered hardwood handles.
Oh, hardwood. Wait, is most nylon... nylon is a synthetic material. It's like plastic,
yeah, but
right?
It can be... Sometimes so, expensive stuff is made out of nylon. Yeah. Let me see on Amazon if there's like a nylon brush that costs like $4. Yeah.
Our good little child friends in Bangladesh and Taiwan can make them for us.
Let's see. I mean, you can get a set of 32 pieces. You can get a 32 piece set for $5.99. You know what I mean? But then it's like, do the expensive ones actually make a difference? I have no idea.
Probably like a minuscule difference. It's sort of like the difference between the Theragun and our Elefer cheapo gun, like massage guns. I'm sure there's some difference, but we're not sophisticated enough to tell.
There's a Sable hair one.
Ooh.
For $30.
Sable is a type of fox?
I don't know.
It's like some weird
little
animal.
It's what the Orthodox hats are made out of.
Okay. Mm.
I don't really know what a Sable
kosher is. Kosher for Sabbath.
It's kosher. But I guess I would probably rather get one that was, you know, kosher for vegans.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want a Sable one.
I don't need Sable. Come on. Who am I? All right. Anyway, I'll poke around. But, you know, I want makeup brushes. Like, let's just say that.
For sure. All right. So my try was Salty Girl. My buy is, well, it was because I actually did buy this stuff off of Goop 2 hours ago, because there is a Goop beauty sale going on starting now. 20% off, I think, like most everything in Goop beauty. The I got a little, you know, promo email because I'm a special friend of Goop. So it's Goop Stars, all one word, GOOPSTARS, 20% off. So I just went tried and true. I didn't want to branch out and get anything new that I hadn't used before. I was just like, okay, it's 20% off. I'm stocking up. So I got, you know, a Goop Glow 30 pack of Goop Glow powder, and then classic, the Microderm Instant Glow Exfoliator.
Nice.
Which is usually, you know, $125. So that was 20% off. The Goop Glow was 20% off. Ended up being like $160. Of course, I did Afterpay. So I'm golden. I'll never even notice it on my credit card bill.
Yeah, I'm just now seeing this email. God damn it. But I don't know. What am I going to get? We'll see. what is it, 20% off?
Yeah, 20%
off. I might get their vitamin C serum. I might get, oh, if they have a good, I might get a sunscreen.
Oh, I do need, because I've just been using like cheapo 365 Amazon, or not Amazon, 365 Whole Foods mineral sunscreen. And I've been using it on my face too. And it has made my face so dry. And so I need to get like a real face sunscreen.
No. I've been using something really embarrassing, which is like, I got a sun bum stick at Bed Bath & Beyond when I was stuck outside for a long time getting my car serviced and I needed sunscreen badly. So I just picked it up and then I actually really liked it because it's, you know, it's really thick and waxy, but I have very dry skin, so I don't mind that. And it goes on so thick. It's almost like a primer. Like it's very, like, I like how it looks, but, I ran out of it or it's almost out. And I kind of want to transition to something that's just a little bit easier to apply where I don't have to like rub a stick on my face every day.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really kind of liked it.
Yeah. I mean, those sticks are useful, and Sunbum's a pretty good brand. I like them.
I mean, I think it's clean, but maybe I feel like a stick is not supposed to be like, usually people like keep them in their bag and you put it on if you're like outside. Most people aren't doing the stick every morning, but I did. And I did like it.
I always see a ton of sticks when I am watching tennis, going to a tennis tournament. Everyone has a stick, and like, cause it's always so hot and sunny in like watching, cause they don't provide shade for the viewers, so right. People are constantly applying their sticks.
You gotta keep a stick on.
I was like, I had said I was thinking about trying the like sleep milk, but one of our listeners sort of scared me off of it, said that they really didn't like it and that it was like peeling their skin off.
Oh my god. Okay.
And then they said that there was like, you could get a sample of it in Sephora, so she was like, you should get the sample before you actually buy it.
I forgot to get my birthday sample from Sephora last month. God damn it.
Too late. But the Sephora, I've been into a Sephora a couple times. It is always like a Hieronius Bosch level of hell when I'm going there. It's like,
yeah, just do it online. It's insane in there.
But you have to buy, so you can't just ask for a sample online, can you? I guess you have to buy something anyway.
Yeah, you have to, I don't know, but yeah. Just buy, I don't know.
Buy something. So I could find, samples. Yeah, I could find something to buy. But anyway, randomly, my mom texted me and was like, oh, I ordered the sleep milk. So
weird.
I don't think it's come yet, but I'll definitely ask her to see what her review of it is. Because she famously is not, well, this is, she actually didn't like all the Goop stuff back when they were doing Juice Beauty. So I don't know.
Which I can understand that.
Yeah. Because she's a very like traditional, like, you know, a nice, like, she'll do a La Mer, she'll do like a traditional nice stuff. She's not impressed by the clean beauty stuff too often. I think
that the clean beauty is kind of shitty most of the time as well, but you know.
All right, wow, we clocked in at like well under 2 hours. This is exciting.
Wow, amazing. That's the shortest we've ever done it. Okay, I think we did it.
I think we did a great job.
Doctor's appointment. Okay.
Are you a doctor's appointment?
Yeah, we'll see how it works out. I'll report back next week.
Is it anything? It's just like a regular doctor's appointment.
Yeah, it's just like a physical.
Oh, I need to book one for myself too. Well, let us know all your blood work. Let's know all your levels.
All right. I definitely will.
And we will talk to you guys soon.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.